This is Six Pack Hour with your hosts, Joe Bob and AJ Appleton.
Mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right. Welcome to the Fantasy Six Pack Hour. My name is Joe Bond, founder of FantasySixPack.net. With me, as usual, AJ Abergarth. What's up, man?
Yo. What up?
Yo.
Feeling good.
Good talk. How you enjoying the smog?
The smog. I don't know. It's just weird.
It's canceled all my daughter's softball playoff games since. Wednesday, so her Wednesday game got canceled, got pushed to Friday. Tomorrow might get canceled. They've had all indoor recesses. This is pretty nuts, man. I have no idea what's gonna happen if tomorrow's gets canceled, because eventually the league that she has, they'll run out of time to have permits for the local fields. And so then they're like, what do we do? I guess we just won't have a champion, which will suck because they're a really good team and they could probably win it. So, oh, well. All right, moving on here. Depp, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. I don't have any smog. So I only get to see the cool videos and stuff. I mean, that's not cool at all. And I can't imagine what you guys are going through. So
it's
that really sucks.
It's nothing like New York and the Northeast. You can smell it. You can smell it, and it definitely I'm outside for any longer than 5-10 minutes, my eyes start burning. It's they're irritated and burning. He started kind of coughing a little bit. I mean, the air quality index today at one point was 196. I was oh my goodness, that is really bad. Anything over 100 is apparently not good. So 196 is really bad. I don't know. Yeah. I don't think it's supposed to get worse than this, AJ. I think it's actually supposed to start getting a little bit better, but
yeah,
we'll see. Here's the hoping. All right, so today we're going to be doing a little game of who would you rather have. So we'll go through a couple of combinations of players, mostly young versus vets type of guys. Dap and I will be discussing that. Before we jump into all that, though, just want to remind everybody, hit that subscribe button, hit that like button, follow, leave comments, whatever. We appreciate it, and it goes a long way in helping us out. And, of course, go over to fantasysixpack.net/plans and become an all-access member today. We've still got all of our great fantasy baseball content, all of our, number one accurate rankings. We've got our Discord access. We've got all of our hitting and pitching planners and waiver wire articles that are paywall bound. But we're starting to roll out our football content. I haven't totally finished the cheat sheet yet. It's very, very close. But that is coming very soon here to help you all get dominate your drafts. We've already got all of our rankings. We've got our redraft rankings, our dynasty rankings, our IDP rankings, our rookie rankings. We're going to get best ball and Devi coming out here very, very soon. And then we're going to be pumping out more content. And of course, Discord is part of that as well. It's where you can get your custom questions answered by all of us at Fantasy Six Pack. So without further ado, let's jump into a little game of who would you rather. AJ, you want to take the floor here?
Yeah. Daddy, take the wheel. All right.
Oh, no.
No. Oh,
don't
God.
Do this to me.
All right. We are looking at some guys that are new to the show versus some guys that are in the show, have been in the show. So let's just start right off with this first one. This week was Ellie De La Cruz week. we'll say. I believe it was, what, Tuesday that he got called up? I don't even remember what day it is right now. I've been through a lot this week. So, yes, Ellie De La Cruz or Tim Anderson. Daph, we'll start with you. Who would you rather?
So when we were talking about, you know, kind of topics for the show, you know, we came up with a bunch. We always try to come up with, you know, easy to digest topics. And the would you rather, I thought was kind of a cool little thing. And Joe and I were talking about it. And I mean, is there anybody else that we want to talk to than Ellie De La Cruz? He has to lead off the show.
He was clearly the headliner, no matter what we were talking about. So this was, this was perfect.
Yeah, it's perfect. The reason we had to pick Tim Anderson, though, obviously my choice is going to be Ellie De La Cruz, and we'll go into all the crazy stats here in a second, was I was blown away by how bad Tim Anderson has been so far this year. I mean, I knew he wasn't doing great, but he's awful. So just a couple quick Tim Anderson stats, just so you know, right? So Jay Cuda just went Tim Anderson, like, tweeting the last couple hours. And here's a couple of great ones. 315 players have 100-plus at-bats in 2023. Tim Anderson's launch angle of 1.5 degrees, not 15, 1.5 degrees, ranks dead last. And also, Tim Anderson and Andrew Benintendi have combined for 477 at-bats without hitting a home run. Just awesome numbers you definitely want to see.
Can I give you a little bit more on Tim Anderson's home run prowess?
Please.
Holy cow. You realize he's hit one home run since last May.
What?
He hit three in March and April.
Two in May. Like
zero in June.
Days ago, May,
one in July. Zero in August of 2022. Yeah, not good. How did Dave Eddy talk us into drafting him? I cannot figure this out. Now, granted, I know he was hurt last year. That has a lot to do with it.
Sure.
But it is not picked up this year.
and the thing is that he's 29, right? We're not talking about somebody in their, you know, late 30, you know, mid-30s, you know, and he was always a speed and power guy. I mean, it wasn't even that long ago, 2021, when he had 17 home runs and 18 stolen bases. I mean,
and he's probably into that year too. You're thinking, like, if you could just get like 140 games, you're thinking 2020 easy, especially with the new rules. Like, no, it ain't happening. One thing I'll say, like, so he has picked it up a little bit. I did notice that. Like, I haven't found anybody because shortstops, you know, like I kind of like missed on the big shortstop names in most of my leagues. They all went super early for good reason. Tim Anderson was always like, well, yeah, I mean, it's not going to be bad. I mean, wrong, but
not going to be good either.
Like, he has picked it up at least in like the batting average department. So in the month of June so far, he's hitting .313. So there's at least a positive to take away from him. But no, I mean, I'm with you, Ellie De La Cruz, all the way. This guy is a monster. Number one prospect on the Dynasty Six Pack Dynasty Baseball Rookie Rankings by Michael Schneider, and probably number one on everybody else's board. You know, I absolutely should have been. I mean, Tim Anderson would have to have one hell of a resurgence here to overtake De La Cruz the rest of the way. I just don't see it happening. Another weird thing about Tim Anderson too, you know, he's hitting .381 against lefties, but only .231 against righties. Like, what?
I did a deep dive in Tim Anderson after, you know, I started seeing some of the stuff, and
he's always been better against lefties, but never that bad against righties.
His stats are just shocking, and so this is crazy to me. But you know what? I think Ellie De La Cruz also, from a fantasy perspective, right, is must-see TV, regardless of if you own them or not, if you own a share or not. I have to watch at-bats. So just a couple things with his five at-bats into his major league career. So this is, you know, from yesterday, MLB pipeline.
How many bats the Reds, so far?
the highest bat flip ever, right? So he already has the two hardest hit balls of 2023 for the Reds, the two fastest sprint speeds, the Reds' longest home run, and he has the MLB's fastest home the third time in 2023, 10.83. And, I mean, we're talking about almost 115 miles an hour off the bat. And did you see where that home run was? I mean, the pitch was
like back row almost.
Oh my God. It's just insanity. He's having fun. And I love how MLB kind of put it. He's like, hits like Judge and then, you know, runs like just fastest guy out there. I mean, it's nuts. Hardest. So in StatCast tracking, the hardest hit home run ever, first home run was Jake Berger, 115 miles an hour, and then De La Cruz at 114. I know we need to move on, but geez, I could talk about we could literally have a De La Cruz just podcast.
So
scratch what we're doing.
I was going to say, instead of, just hitting like Tarzan, running like Jane, he hits like Tarzan and he runs like Tarzan.
It's the Ella De La Cruz hour, everybody.
Yes.
We're done.
All right.
How do we top that?
We're rebranding on the spot. I love it.
We can top that with this little nugget of, I guess, breaking news. Oklahoma has completed the three-peat in softball and beaten FSU. Awesome. I hate FSU. Always will. So I just love
seeing them
lose.
Can you name the only other women's softball college team to win a three-peat?
I cannot.
UCLA.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I can see that.
I mean, they've done like everything in college sports at some point or what?
Yeah.
At some point in time.
Anyway, yeah, Wooden's moving a hell on of a here. Coach.
Next.
All right. Next, we've got another youngster, and I believe another Red, Andrew Abbott or Jack Flaherty. Old Jackie boy. You can go first.
Go ahead, Joe.
Who would you rather?
This one's tough, man. Abbott, you know, I'm gonna be really honest with you. Like, I did not know a ton about Abbott. Had to look a little into him.
Right,
he's been good. K per nine rate, exceptional in the minors. Came up his one start, was really really good. Probably he plays for Cincy, right? And so he's gonna get that home ballpark, which is a definite downgrade. It's almost like, you know, Coors minus, right? It's like bad. Flaherty, you know, you look at his overall ERA at 4.15. I mean, that is heavily skewed by a atrocious game he had against the Angels, where he allowed 10 runs in 2.2 1/3 innings. He mixed in a few bad, bad games, but kind of normal bad games early on. But since then, he hasn't allowed more than 3 earned runs twice in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And after that, it's been 1-0. The walks are the biggest issue for him. I mean, a 5.19 walks per nine rate, left on base 74%, which it's actually not. That's not as high as I thought it would be, considering all the walks he has.
Right.
You know, like somehow he's wild but effective, like effectively wild or whatever that term is, right? Like it's weird. It's just working. I mean, he shut down the Rangers even with 5 walks the other day. I still think reluctantly, and I don't like it, but I think I'm more on Flaherty just because I think I know what I'm getting from him, and Abbott's still kind of an unknown commodity.
Right.
And maybe that's just me.
Thoughts?
So I own way too many shares of Jack Flaherty. I wish I didn't. I bought into it. And then, of course, he's been injured quite a bit. So, you know, the thing was always, you know, can he stay healthy? And now we see him healthy and he can't find the strike zone. And like you said, I hate owning pitchers or having shares of pitchers where people are saying effectively wild, because at some point they're no longer going to be effective and they're just going to be wild, right? And that concerns me to no end. But the thing is going for him, right? He's the St. Louis Cardinals, and we know that they can fix pitching. But, you know, when I keep seeing these lines where it's like, you know, 8 Ks, but almost as many walks, right? The 5 walks from the Rangers series.
Crushing your whip. Sorry.
Yeah. No, you're right. And that's the thing. But, you know, great. It's, you know, ERA of 2.06 since May 9th. That's wonderful. But the Andrew Abbott. Okay. So you're right. I don't know if, I think they've already done a thing now that the Great American Ballpark is actually worse from a pitching perspective, in the sense of, you know, starting a pitcher for fantasy is worse than Coors is now with the humidor. So, you know, you can't start anybody there. But for, you know, Abbott had definitely did not have the start you wanted him to have. He had 6 Ks and 4 walks, but he only gave up 1 hit in 6 innings, you know, against Milwaukee, which used to be a bigger, like, oh, it's just Milwaukee, but they have some boppers now. But if you look through his minor leagues, he hasn't at any time except one time in 2022, and that was when the Double A. But in 2023 and in 2021, he never had a walks per nine over 3. So he was always a really great control pitcher. And we're talking about double-digit strikeout potential as well. Mm. With, again, we're going to have another red here in a minute. Also, I don't know. I know what I'm going to get with Flaherty, like you said. But I also know what I'm going to get with Flaherty, if you know what I mean. Like, it's kind of like, I know what I'm going to get with this crazy ex-girlfriend. And I just rather have strikeout upside and the hope that my whip isn't going to be destroyed. Then the Flaherty, where I almost have to like open one eye and be like, is my box score going to be okay? I've been scared to start Flaherty almost every week so far this season. And I just don't know if that's the right way to go about it with pitching, you know?
I hear you.
I would say it's 51-49. Like, it's so close here. But if I had to, like, you know, Dynasty, obviously Abbott. But Flaherty, also with that injury history, I don't know if, you know, he might get a toenail that comes off wrong. I don't know.
I would say normally the Cardinals too, you get the advantage of he's going to win more games, but right now that's not the case. So
exactly.
Cardinals are not doing that well right now.
No, they are definitely not. So
no.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
All right. So our next group of who would you rather? We're looking at Bobby Miller or Marcus Stroman.
So Stroman is what we thought we were going to be in a lot of areas. We didn't think he was going to be a high strikeout guy, and we thought he was going to be a control pitcher as well, which he definitely is. But he's definitely looked better on all the other stat areas than I thought he was going to be. 100%. I thought he was going to be maybe league average. He's definitely been pretty good. 2.39 ERA with, you know, 1 whip. I mean, he's been phenomenal. But we're fantasy baseball analysts, right? We're not, you know, the MLB.com guys. And from that perspective, you know, there's a lot of things that are kind of lacking here, right? The whip is great. The ERA is going to help you. But, you know, if you're getting killed in strikeouts, this is not the pitcher for you. You know, Bobby Miller, I mean, he's already at, let's see, almost a third of the strikeouts and 3 starts of Stroman, you know, and only has 4 walks. That whip is phenomenal. And again, he's with the Dodgers, so you know they're going to win a bunch of games. So my thing here is this. The Dodgers are going to win more games, obviously, than the Cubs. The one caveat here, and the reason I'm going to tell you I'm picking Stroman, is because Stroman's going to get traded. I guarantee it. There's no way he doesn't get traded. And because of that, he's going to be going to some type of contender. That one kind of tiebreaker here where, you know, the Dodgers are going to give more wins to Miller. You know, I think I can find places to get the strikeouts considering the ERA, the whip, and now I'm going to get wins when he gets traded. I can definitely, you know, figure out the strikeouts, and he gives me the other three categories. I'll take Stroman here.
I'm in on Stroman too. Like, I agree with you. I'll make this short. I agree with you. Bobby Miller is probably the better overall pitcher. The other thing to worry about with Bobby Miller is he's going to get Dodgered. You know, there's a term that I use a lot, and it's the Dodgers going, oh, he's got a sore thumb this week, so we're going to put him in the IL and leave him there for a month because he's lingering to manage his workload, right? Because if he's pitching that well, they're going to want him for the playoffs, right? And so we see them do this all the time. Right. It works. So they're you know, they're also going to get some pitchers off the IL. And so it's a matter of time before he's not in the starting rotation for who knows how long. And that's why you go with Stroman. He's a safe commodity at this point, and he's doing, like you said, way better than we all thought he was going to. I avoided him everywhere because he's just sort of like a blah guy. And it's right. So like, he wasn't going to win me any categories, but he could actually kind of hurt me in some. And I was just kind of like, nope. And he actually would have been a pretty good draft pick where I avoided him, unfortunately. So probably the same as a lot of people. Right. Anyway.
Yes. I like the idea of Stroman as well. There have been rumblings of him possibly coming to Philly, but they still need to start playing better baseball or continue to play. This weekend will be big for that. A good test. So
I wonder if moving on, like the Rangers goes after him.
Ooh, that's a good point. I mean, the Rangers, I think also then you also have the Rays. I just don't see how the Rays don't go after a starting pitcher.
Rangers can turn me into a starting pitcher, dude. They don't care.
Like, this is so true.
That does put their magic fairy dust on me, man. Yeah. Like, I don't know how they do it, but it's
boom,
that's what they do.
They're like, oh yeah, we saw this guy throw peanuts across the aisle, and the peanut vendor now is the relief pitcher for the week.
Yeah, we've got our new starter, or opener, whatever it is.
Yeah, opener, exactly. Fire.
There you go.
Peanuts and now baseballs. All right, moving on. We've got, speaking of the Rays, Taj Bradley or Patrick Sandoval.
Go ahead, sir. You start it off, Jeff.
This one is yours, so you start.
Sandoval has been a rather big disappointment this year. I was expecting pretty big things from him, and he started off the season pretty hot, but has just crumbled here down the stretch for some reason. And with that said, man, you know, of course, Taj has the issue of where, of course, he's Tampa Bay. They do their own thing with pitching, just like I mentioned with the Dodgers. And, you know, he's first time in the majors. They're going to reduce his workload, too. They're going to manage it. I, however, do not think it's going to be as big of a management workload as some people think. You know, he did pitch, what, if I could do the math, 74 plus 59, 133 innings last year, something like that. Yeah. So you add on what's the math usually? You add on
15-20%.
Yeah. 15-20%.
Yeah, so
can't do that math right now.
Yeah, you said 150, you said 115 was his thing.
It should be 133.
Yeah.
Last year. So
okay, so 130, so 20%, so it's going to be another 26 innings on top of that, so about 150, 160.
Yeah. 159.6. So he's at 35 now. Plus, you know, 16 in the minors, he's got a long ways to go. Even if they limit him to, like, you know, five and two thirds, you're still going to get some pretty sweet outings from Taj Bradley the rest of the way. And, like, you know, he's going to go deep into games when he's dealing, of course, as long as they don't have, like, a ginormous lead, which is unfortunately what they're doing to a lot of teams. But I think Bradley's got to have – he's and, you know – again, I'm not as concerned with the workload management as I think some people are, because 160 innings in today's game is pretty solid. You want to see 180 or, you know, closer to 200, but
right.
I mean, that's like an IL stint away from, you know, from 180 to 160. Like, right? That's not a big deal.
Yeah. Who would you bet?
Man, this one's hard for me because I love Patrick Sandoval, but man, I mean, the Angels have been so bad on the defensive front. And if you've watched some of his games, it looks like he could be, you know, helped out on some of these innings. And, you know, there's been defensive, you know, miscues or something of that nature. and also he's just not as dominant as I thought he was going to be as well. I mean, that goes without saying.
Per nine rate is just horribly bad. Last year it was 9. The year before that it was 9. Now it's down to 6.
Yep. And that's not going to. I mean, again,
we're talking about Marcus Stroman not being a strikeout guy. What the hell is going on here?
That's that. You know, we're fantasy analysts, right? So if we're going to talk about K's and whips and stuff like that, and yeah, that's absolutely not going to get it done. And when you're looking at these, you know, daily fantasy bettors, and they're talking about whatever line everybody's always going under with Patrick Sandoval, you know, you have a problem. And I honestly don't know how this big drop off has occurred. Well, Taj Bradley, if you even get, you know what we're talking about, 150, 116 innings, I'd much rather have that. I mean, the K upside's much better.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just on the July 4th, right, he had 48 strikeouts through 35 MLB innings. I mean, and he, you know, with against the Red Sox, he had 6 Ks over the five innings there all day long. Yes, he's going to have blow-ups. He's going to have rookie issues. And, of course, it's the Rays. So he might become the opener for the next 6 weeks. Who knows? But I'd rather have that upside any day of the week. And on top of that, the Rays are, you know, still killing it on the offensive side and everything else. Right. So, and the Angels, I don't know what they're doing.
They can't figure it out.
They can't figure it out.
And Trout.
You have the two best players maybe in the last, I don't know how long. I mean, Otani's just a freaking,
although, probably the last 75 years. Arguably, Trout's not the best player in baseball anymore.
Right, no.
Quite a big margin, in my opinion. There's lots of guys better than him. But still, he's still top. But interesting, I'm looking a little bit more at Sandoval's like pitch mix. And so, you know, he has lowered his fastball usage every single season.
Wow.
From 46 to 44 to 43 to 37 to 33%. His slider usage has gone up and down, but it is way up this year at 32%. His curveball and his changeup are about the same all around. Now, you look at like pitch value. Mm-hmm. His fastball was a negative value pitch his entire career. I mean, that's probably the case for a lot of people. Like, people can sit on the fastball and just crush it, right?
Right.
It wasn't like horribly negative. But his slider last year was a 13.5, which is really good. But it is all the way down to a 1.5 value pitch this year. That's where he's getting crushed. It's not working for him this year. And I mean, I'm not pitching ninja, right, on Twitter. I'm not these guys who can like sit there and analyze every pitch that goes out and like see the spin rates and all that kind of stuff and like just know. But for whatever reason, it's not working for him this year. And until he figures out his slider again, he's not going to be useful. And that's where it's like, if you're not, if a pitch isn't working for you, that was your pitch.
Right.
It's time to figure out, you know, an alternative or maybe.
We see that, you know, year to year, all the time, where a pitcher either loses a feel for a pitch that they used to like, or they over reliant on a pitch because maybe they lost the feel for the other pitch. And if you're telling me that he's almost dropped his fastball, even if it's a negative, you know, piece, they have to use that to keep hitters off balance regardless.
Yeah. I don't throwing it anymore.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
It's and I don't care how low that you need to have a straight pitch that you can locate, you know, wherever. So that's really odd.
Pitching staff also like telling him, hey, your fastball isn't good. Use less of it. Well, that's maybe that's just a way to like keep hitters off balance, guys. Like sure, if you throw 35% sliders, people are going to figure that out pretty quick.
Yeah.
They'll sit on that and just pound you. So that's not good.
All right. That will do it for that. Next on the docket here, we've got, how you feeling, Matt? How you feeling, Matt? Matt McClain, Matt Chapman, or Matt Carpenter? We're throwing a wild card in because that's what I do. I sing, I dance, and I throw out wild cards.
Matt
Boom.
Carpenter?
Okay, so I put
three. Of the three, don't forget the Carpenter, famous singer group.
Okay,
Matt Carpenter.
So Matt Chapman or Matt McClain. All right, so of course, you know, we picked this because two Matts don't make a right. But also, I mean, come on, right now, is anybody having more fun other than Ellie De La Cruz and Matt McClain? I mean, he's just everywhere. Yeah, they're, you know, they're calling him on. I love any time a rookie comes up and suddenly they're having like, you know, you know, Matty McClutch and all these types of things that he's just, one of the best things, and if you haven't got on Twitter yet, just look up anything about America's ballpark, right, where Cincinnati plays. They are doing a lot of before and afters before the last couple of weeks where they were showing, you know, the ballpark just absolutely dead about 3 weeks ago. And then drawing the smallest crowd at Great American Ballpark's 20-year history was on one Monday night in April. This last Tuesday night in June with Ellie De La Cruz and Matt McLain on the Reds, the crowds are just going nuts, and they stayed after the game and they were just high-fiving everybody. I mean, I know that's not fantasy, but you just need to understand the whole vibe of that club has changed tremendously. And then you have Matt Chapman. And Matt Chapman, I mean, is he not...
Started off real, real good.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he still leads the league top third baseman with 136 WRC plus, but everybody's catching up to him real fast. I mean, when you slump as hard as he's doing right now, he's definitely...
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's Matt Chapman, veteran. I mean, you know, McLain's going to hit... is going to hit a bump here sooner or later, right? I mean,
yeah.
But man, McLain is just—he's another—he's something else. I mean, right now, McLain's only had 21 games, so exactly 100 plate appearances, 2 home runs, 19 runs, and he's doing a 7 walk rate with a 26% K rate, right? But his batting average of balls in play is .469. I mean, unless the dude is just killing the ball, that is going to come down tremendously at some point, right? But the big thing here, right, and then you look at Chapman, and everything is in line with his career. You know, compared to last year, we're about 1.1% off one way or another on his walk percentage and his K percentage. So, long-winded to say, I would pick Chapman over McLain, but man...
It's close.
It's FOMO.
I also think there could be more regression coming for Matt Chapman, because you're saying everything's in line for him. Right. And I agree with some of the counting stats, but if you look at the BABIP and then his batting average, his BABIP is up at .359. The last few years, it's been hovering around .270, .272, year before point. That, .291. It's coming down. He's not a .280 hitter, which is what he's kind of doing right now. That's just not Matt Chapman. He hasn't done that since 2018. It's coming down, you know, maybe. And if
2018 with the Oakland A's.
And if it comes down to, you know, if his batting average drops maybe even as low as like .245, you're talking a... He's going to be batting in like the low 200s for probably the remainder of the season for that to happen. That's what's going to happen for him to drop that far. Now, the power is clearly going to be around. That's not going anywhere. That's Matt Chapman's game. But yeah, I mean, I'm with you. It's definitely Chapman, but it's close, man. McLain would be somebody that, you know, I would hope to be able to grab a hold of and, you know, put on the back end of my bench for whatever schlub I've got sitting right there right now. So.
Yeah. Well, okay. So for the last 2 weeks,
shortstop eligibility.
Oh God. Yeah. For the last 2 weeks, Matt Chapman has hit .171, .277, .317, one home run, but here's the kicker. He's only had 3.4% barrels. This is from John Anderson on Twitter. Yeah. I mean, if you're not barreling the ball, you're not going to get any better, but
I'll say they've faced some pretty good pitching over the last week. You know, he's got Milwaukee, the Mets, and then Houston here. Now, I don't know who started those games, but those are three pretty good rotations. And even the one before that, I mean, even if you go before that, it's Tampa Bay and Minnesota. And depending on who he got from Minnesota, they're not nobodies over there, you know. So Sonny Gray and Pablo Lopez, who we'll be talking here next about, you know, can still have his game.
Cy Lopez.
But, yes. But you know,
all right. I think that's that about.
Did AJ just
cut us off?
AJ just turned the music on like Academy Award like acceptance speech.
One vote for Matt Duffy. Okay, nice work, guys.
Matt Duffy.
And next, it's position eligibility. That's why. I mean, I would have gone that way. which is hard because Vierling's a former Philly, and you know, he did pretty well. Okay, now we're going with my own namesake, AJ Smith Schauver or Pablo.
Who?
That's his like Pablo dual who? Name, like J Lo is Pablo, and it's his actual first fucking name. How awesome is that? Pablo squared.
It's actually, if you, I don't know if you know this, but it's
a Pablo great underrated
Cy Young Lopez. It's Pablo Cy Young Lopez is his full name, but
whatever. Pez, right. Underrated candy.
Go ahead, Joe.
What?
Get a low, Pez. Get a low. Get a low, Pez.
This one's Pablo Lopez for me.
Yeah,
told you.
And it's
called it.
Schauver might, you know, might get a handful of starts here for Atlanta while some guys on right. The IL
Smith's and
set down yeah, like, to like hopefully Smith get right. But Pablo Lopez has proven time and time again that he can get it done. He's in a little bit of a funk right now. Since the middle of May, he's had 3 out of 5 bad starts. Turned things around against Tampa of all teams yesterday, so that's a good sign. You know, he's got that potential, and we know, like, in the beginning of the year he went on a massively like hot streak there, and it was phenomenal. Me and Dap were laughing to the bank with that one for a trade that we pulled off in the Dynasty League, and then he crapped the bed with a 6 and 5 you know, earned run, and then he came back and we were like, yeah, see, we told you, and then he caught the bet again. So it's gonna be up and down. That's kind of what he does. But you know, I think Pablo's going to probably finish the year with a high 3, low 4 ERA. It's kind of what it looking like it's gonna be. But you know, he's a strikeout guy, and you know, innings eater when healthy. So I think it's definitely Pablo Lopez for me.
No, yeah, it's not even close. We obviously chose AJ because he's coming out. And also we have an AJ in studio, but yes, it's not even close here because Pablo Cy Young Lopez, you know, as everybody knows, could win the Cy Young as well, just because he's that good. No, I'm really? Kidding.
Is that no.
But, you know, looking at, if you look at these starts, right, especially with the first four that he had where it's just, you know, two or less earned runs, he's had about, I'd say, well, there's 4 blow up, you know, games that he's had. When I mean blow up, I mean like 5 plus runs, right? But the strikeouts are still there, and yeah. he's still keeping that the walk rate down as well. Those two things, the main thing is just on those games where he gets killed, he's allowing home runs. That's what's. But other than that, I mean, and all his other starts except for the ones that he's given up the 5 plus you know runs, he's limited home runs, he's limited walks, so. He's helping almost every ratio except if you're in week-to-week league like I was, and I had Pablo Lopez just decimate us for those 3 starts. But other than that, yeah, the one thing that you're going to have to be worried about is the AL Central is just having some problems here with the offense in general, and Minnesota especially. They have to get that offense back on track so for you to start capturing some of these wins. You know, Lopez throws a gem out there, but they're, you know, going to get hammered.
They're winning the division at least.
Hey, you're right, but you know,
too bad,
we don't...
Too bad they're playing less games in division this year, because that would help them a lot.
But you know, we don't have a, you know, winning division like bonus in fantasy. That's the only thing that sucks. So yeah. But yeah, Pablo Lopez, hands down, not even close.
Yeah. Okay, all right,
moving on,
we've got the battle of the Jays, Joey Weimer. Or, I'm sorry, was there a Weimer in there? Or James Outman.
Okay, so if you've never seen what Weimer looks like, because some people just don't have the time to look, to check out what their players look like sometimes. He has one of the most amazing mullets right now.
Yes, he does.
You have got to check out this thing. It's epic. It's beautiful.
Just because you said that.
And it's just gorgeous. He has a quote right now. He's like, my buddy Dre in Cincinnati, he cuts my hair for the, you know, for the last like 6 years. And he's, you know, not the most precise barber, but he's my barber. And he takes credit for the streak that he's on. And just to give you an idea of just how hot Joey Weimer is in his last 8 game streak. And this is from, Chris Clegg. I mean, he is just just video game numbers. Just give you an idea here, right? So he's hitting 481, 563, 1,000 for his with three home runs, two stolen bases, and
is that good?
Yeah, it's like video game on easy. But the
and oh, he's level I play on.
Is that some kind of dig? Is that a dig at me?
And he's on pace for basically 25-25 season of home runs and stolen bases. So yeah, might be good, and he might still be on most waiver wires, which is crazy to me.
Him up in a couple leagues. So right. I was like, I haven't looked at the waiver wire for a few days, but I was like, yeah, there we go.
As I was saying, man, before you move on, I wanted to also point out how goofy looking Andrew Abbott is with his weird mustache. He looks like the love child of, I don't know, Matt Ryan and Cher, something. I don't know. Anyway, Joe, you were saying.
Okay, well, why we have James Altman on here as well? Why we have James Altman? I'll help you out, Joe. Why we have James Altman on here as well is because so many people had snatched up James Altman, especially in the last 2 months, and how he's just absolutely gone off a cliff between April and May, right? He had 7 home runs in April. He's hit 2 since. And, just some of these numbers, just to give you an idea, right? So May especially, I'm sorry, March, April, 20 RBIs, 7 home runs. I mean, just killing it. Yeah. And then 2 home runs and 9 RBIs. That's just not going to get done. And frankly, I wouldn't say he's going to be pushed to AAA, even though there's a ton of fans on Twitter claiming that. He's cooled off considerably and he needs to figure something else out. That's where we're going to see change. So Weimer by right now, Weimer all day long.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, Altman has become a streamable player, at waiver wire type of guy, like go drop him. And it's funny because like the Dodgers didn't start off super hot, but Altman did. And then the Dodgers, the rest of the team figured it out. And Altman was like, oh, cool. I don't have to worry about it anymore. You guys
exactly.
Got me, right?
Exactly.
What the hell's going on here? You're supposed to hit with them.
Somebody Dodger me, please. I heard that's
a thing. I'm with you. It's Weimer. Ride the hot hand. He will probably eventually cool off. And then you can be like, peace. Pick up the next guy. Altman just doesn't seem to be. I mean, he is hitting 165 and 125 in the last 2 months. Like, that's not going to cut it. You got to cut bait with that. Just period.
Speaking of cutting it, Mr. Weimer also goes up against Oakland this weekend, and the first pitcher he faces is Funky Cold Medina, Luis, who's got a rapid 8.19 ERA. So
super.
Medina is absolutely fitting, and you're welcome for
my
musical knowledge. I am now picking up Weimer in my 10-team points league and dropping the bum who was mentioned earlier, Mr. Andrew Benintendi, who I picked up hoping to get something out of that doubleheader.
Oh, yikes.
And he God, went for popping over 5. Just because
do you think it's 2018? Like,
no. I think it's like...
He might have been farther back than that, man.
I know. I was trying to pick up. I don't know when he was good. I apologize.
Well, he's dropped. And last pickup of the week. So let's go, Mullets. Let's go. Meanwhile, my team
was
name
good.
Is Margera's Midnight Runners. And I've got a picture of Bam Margera.
20 and
okay.
20 year.
Moving on. Yeah. We are
no,
done
I'm
with
done yet.
The
Hush,
who
AJ.
Would shut up.
Shut up. He hit 290 in 2018. I guess he was old.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares. After all that. Right. Take your effing history lesson back to your radio silence. It's the only one that wants to listen to you.
Wow.
For that.
AJ's
that topic,
angry today.
For that topic.
Oh, why are mommy and daddy fighting?
I'm not. Yes.
What's going on here?
Why?
Stop it,
why,
Daddy! Stop!
Why is mommy?
Stop
why is mommy yelling at Daddy Joe?
The laughter from the sky comes at you.
I didn't get a chance to laugh at the last Daddy joke, so I had to this time.
All right, sorry.
Okay. All right. Well, now that that's over,
All right. So you know what? Joe brought this to in the pre-show, and I thought this was a slam dunk, easy answer. He asked me, who is hotter, Ryan McMahon, Luis Ariz, or Wander Franco? And I was like, Franco, and then maybe McMahon, because I know Ariz is an empty stat line. I was surprised by the answer here. Joe, do you want to talk a little bit more about this?
So, yeah. So I go to FanGraphs, and how I do this, just to find this little fun topic to pull up every week, I do the last 14 days, so 2 weeks, sort by WRC plus and just get the top guys. Now, shockingly, Josh Naylor is actually the top, and I was just like, we're not talking about Josh Naylor.
No.
We just did. Ryan McMahon was next, so that was interesting. Luis Ariz, third. Aaron Judge, but he's on the IL. We'll talk about that in a minute. Next, it was actually Ryan Noda, and I was like, Noda to that. We're not talking about him either. And then Wander Franco. So I picked three out of the six.
Right.
But yeah, McMahon, 228 WRC plus. Ariz at 226. What is baffling about Ariz is it's exactly what you expect from Ariz.
Right.
He's hitting 522 over the last 2 weeks. You heard that right. 522. Yeah.
That's okay.
Zero home runs, zero stolen bases.
But the part that surprised me and the part that keeps baffling me about Ariz, right? It's not, okay, fine, average, got it. No home runs, got it. How is he not scoring more runs?
Because like, Miami's not scoring more
well,
runs?
Well, I mean, but it seemed like it was the same thing at the Twins. He doesn't have speed, so it's not like he's getting on and then also stealing bases. He has zero stolen bases during those 12 games. I don't know. I just, you see these numbers and you're like, Ariz has to be on my team. But then at the same time, you're like, I need help with the other categories. Please. The thing that's really interesting, though, to me is when you looked at the BABIP, right? The batting average of balls in play. All these guys that are on the list are 450 or better, roughly. Mm-hmm. The one person that's way below, and yet is in the top six here, now that he's hurt, and we'll talk about it, is Aaron Judge. His batting average of balls in play is 286.
Because he basically just hits a home run or not at this point.
Right. Or hitting it right at a defender, but man, I thought the shift was going to, you know, killing the shift was going to help him, but it just hasn't.
Ariz's K rate is just mind-boggling, 3.8%. In today's game, that's just unbelievable. I mean, granted, that's a 2-week sample size, but that is just mind-boggling
to
me.
Still pretty phenomenal.
Jeez, that's just nuts, man. But you know, then there's Franco, who
thank you.
Yeah, I mean, he's still up there, but no power the last couple of weeks. Like, it's just kind of disappeared for him, unfortunately. Hopefully he'll get back on track with that. But you know, he's still chipping in 6 stolen bases. And in his K rate the last couple of weeks, 8.9, walking a good bit, 13. You know, he has cooled off. I was actually kind of surprised to see his WRC plus be that high, considering it's 10 runs, 4 RBI, and 6 stolen bases. They must really love stolen bases. Plus, he's hitting 421, so that helps right too. But
I mean, slugging almost 600 too. But I mean, yeah, every time he's getting on base, it almost seems like he's stealing a base. If you have any shares of Wander Franco, you almost look at it and be like, okay, he got on base and he's gonna get a stolen base. He has always had speed, but I didn't expect him to be. He was one of the first people I thought of that was going to take advantage of the stolen base rule, and he's absolutely crushing it. I easily a 20-20 guy, probably a 30-30 guy. I'm really impressed by his speed, but yeah, the K percentage being in the single digits again, considering how young he is, I think the power is going to come. He definitely has it.
I mean, he started off with 5 home runs in March, April, and then only 2 last month. So the power dip is a little bit concerning. I would bet he does not hit 30.
Really?
Pretty easily. He's not going to hit 30 home runs this year.
Really?
Really?
Okay. All right. Look, so I shaved. I don't know if you know this because I lost my bet to you about Batista. I said he was not going to be the, you know, this great closer. And I already paid. I'm paid, so I shaved because I knew that I lost that bet. So there you go, Joe.
That's why Joe took 14 minutes to go find his Orioles hat.
But I am not going to give up on this 30-30 love. I think it's going to be a lot closer than you think with Mr. Franco. So
cue the Dion.
I'm
putting the
Franco Wander. Down. I roam around the bases, around. Boom. It's another song.
Anyway, I don't know if we actually answered the question. I mean, who's hotter is Ryan McMahon? He's killing it right now.
Yeah.
I mean,
Ryan McMahon. Ryan McMahon's the hottest, and I just couldn't believe it.
Yeah. I mean, he's got probably the best overall stat line of the last couple of weeks, too. You know, it's.
And it didn't hurt that they've been playing in Colorado pretty much every game last like
five bombs, double digit runs, double digit RBI, no steals, unfortunately. But I think you're able to find steals in a lot of places right now.
Is that why you needed the hat?
What?
Did you burn your head on a toaster?
I got a haircut and I'm still balding, so we're good.
That's when you don't get haircuts when you're balding.
I gave up.
Get yourself a nice little hair island and you let it go.
No,
all right.
It just looks stupid on me.
Okay. Doosh, doosh, doosh. Quick hits. Who steps up with Judge?
AJ wants to be on like FM radio so bad. He wants all the little sound effects.
Are you calling me ugly now? You saying I got a radio face?
Well, yes.
I think I got a podcast.
We've known that for a while.
Okay, Baldy. Who would you rather, Joe or Brian Baldinger? Wait. What? Never mind.
What?
Bad joke.
Okay.
Okay,
all
back
right.
To the quick hits. Who steps up with Judge on the IL? Parenthetically, no timetable for his return.
Yeah, so you would hope Oswaldo Cabrera is the person that's going to step up, but... yeah, it's not happening. I mean, I picked him up a lot of places late in the draft. I was really expecting this maybe to be a sleeper. And he's shown, you know, he's shown some life here and there, but it just
Death.
I mean, he's got speed, he's got a little bit of pop, he's got four home runs already in, you know, 52 games, but that's not it.
They're not starting him either. Like that's the thing.
They don't trust him at all. So who do you think it's going to be?
Bowers. They're rolling out. Yeah. Willie Calhoun. All right.
Yeah, when I saw Jake
Josh
Bowers.
Josh Donaldson's back, so I guess that helps a little bit. But, you know, he plays third and DH. So, you know, maybe put Stanton though. Back in the outfield? I mean, he'll get hurt the very next day, right?
He so will.
I mean, I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, Billy McKinney? He got called up, but like it's not.
They're gonna trade.
It's a who's who of
Andrew Benintendi.
It's a who's who of failed prospects so far, right? Jake Bowers from Cleveland. Yeah. After being on the 24 for so many years on Fox. Yeah. If you ever watched the show, there was Jake all the time. But you know, you look at this, and this really highlights. How kind of shallow, you know, the Yankees team was. I mean, you know, they can't pull up, that Uber prospect, right, from the minors, like we've seen with Cincinnati and things of that nature, because they've traded those already. They really need to figure something out here. And either they need to make a big splash or they're going to just kind of, you know, sit there in mediocrity while the Rays are just going to take off.
You know who they wish they probably had right now?
Please.
Aaron Hicks. Who's now with the O's. Oh, yeah. I mean,
or Josh Naylor.
I laugh, but maybe you know it's true.
Or they trade for Ryan. Or they try for Ryan McMahon. And take him out. Jeez. They're a mess. I honestly, they're an absolute mess. And I can see them doing one or two desperate things. They're going to either try to pull up somebody early for the minors that shouldn't be pulled up, or they make a desperate play for one of these key, you know.
I,
great,
I,
you know,
I couldn't agree with you more, Dap. I mean, they're on the verge of getting swept by the White Sox.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing worse would be getting swept by the, you know, Athletics.
Well, it doesn't.
Hey, look here. All right, look. All right. I get it. Our team sucks. I get it. But do we have to kick them? I mean, come on. Come on.
Hey, we gave him a shining moment. I mean, who was that guy's name?
Shut up.
Get it, Luther.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't help the Yankees obviously are also dealing with pitching injuries too. Like, they've just – Cortez is dealing with a shoulder strain. Who else? I forget who else right now. They're dealing with a bunch of pitching injuries too. So it's not – that's not helping their cause as far as winning games, you know. So, yeah, it's a mess. They need Judge back in that lineup badly, in order for them to be able to stay in contention. This does not feel like a, you know, World Series bound team at all. Like, right. You look at this roster; it's pretty ugly. I'm not gonna lie. Like, so. Yeah. Oh well.
Okay, so that is the end of that topic. Next quick hit is Jacob DeGrom, second Tommy John.
Yeah, so I asked us to cover this topic because, you know, again, we are fantasy analysts, but, you know, people are constantly like, well, of course he got hurt. The thing is, if you saw that press conference and just, I mean, he looked destroyed. And who would be? Is second Tommy John's typically, you know, kind of the death knell of somebody, you know, not being able to come back to even a percentage of what he was. When he was healthy, DeGrom, one of the best, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah.
But that's the issue, right? When he was healthy. So it's, I hate to see that happen to somebody. I hate to see somebody who's that talented, you know, kind of leave the game like that and not under their own kind of their decision. You know, he just never seemed to have kind of any longevity to any season to this. On the other side, I mean, unless the Rangers have a ton of money, they just hamstrung themselves for a couple of years here as well. I'm not talking about this being a bad contract and the signing, and I'm not going to get into that. But, you know, it's going to be kind of interesting to see how the Rangers pivot here as well. So what do you think, Joe?
I mean, everything you said is pretty spot on. You know, it's going to be sad. I mean, he's going to be 35 here in like a month. That's going to be tough. He's going to be out for another year in change. So what, next time we see him will be late 2024, if probably not 2025 at this point.
Cute virtual background.
And I mean, look, he was pitching well again. I mean, that's the thing, you know. So it's, this guy's dominant when he's on the mound. It's just,
yeah.
Again, it's why we cut bait with him in our dynasty league last year. We were like, you know, he came back, he had like three good starts, and we were like, peace.
Yep.
Sold him off for, yep. I forget, we got a lot of good prospects for him.
DeGrom, Sale, those are all the types of guys that if you get two or three good starts, you try to trade them as quickly as possible.
Yeah, so it's sad to see. You know, I hope he can come back, but I'm not,
yeah,
you know. He's going to come back in a very limited fashion, I believe. He's not going to try to power arm anymore.
Right. If he comes back and he's even, you know, 80%, I would put him as a dominant closer. Like, he would be an amazing closer.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, I don't know. It bummed me out. And, I just wanted to bring that up because occasionally that we look at the human side of these players behind the mask.
So if you're in a dynasty league now, if you had him, right, obviously redraft, gone.
Right.
Don't even worry about it.
Sure.
Not even a second question.
Right.
Dynasty league though, like, do you trade him for pennies on the dollar at this point just to get rid of him?
If you can find one of those, you know, single A, double A players that, you know, maybe he's definitely not in the top, you know, 150, but, you know, one of those guys that you think is going to be a rocket ship, trade him, you know, the James Wood types, not James Wood now, but where he was, you know, a year or two ago and an unheralded kind of prospect. But yeah, if you can get anything for him, I would trade him. Honestly, there's no way at his age, like if he was in his 20s, different story. At his age, you're looking at 2 years, probably before he starts doing meaningful stats.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think get anything you can. Like, I wouldn't trade him for somebody I would just drop.
Right. That's stupid.
It's got to be somebody. It's got to be a project type of player, right. like you're saying. So,
yeah,
totally agree.
All right, last man up here is Alec Manoah.
Yeah,
playing like Manoah. can he regain his form after being sent down to the minors earlier this week after his latest shit show, Manoah?
So I thought he was gonna get sent down like weeks ago. I mean, he was just terrible. I think they just didn't have anybody else to kind of bring up at the time, or they're hoping to kind of, you know, not have him completely take a hit to his ego there. But you know, it's interesting. And again, now people are coming out with theories of why things happen, right? But Jack Barry on Twitter had a really great kind of breakdown of one of the reasons why he thinks Alec is kind of struggling this season. And he pulled some video from August 2022 and then compared it to, you know, a May game this year. And Manoah used to be an incredibly methodical pitcher. He used to be very kind of slow in how he threw his pitches and then, you know, took his time in between. And so in what Jack did and what he when he analyzed with his tweet today, in the same time it took Manoah to throw three pitches in 2022, he went through a full five pitch at bat in 2023. And so basically what he's getting at, if you look at it through his whole thread, is that he's just gassed. And it makes sense if again, this is a theory and all those types of things, but, you know, and I'm not talking about his body shape, right? I'm not talking about, well, he's a bigger pitcher. Let's not get away from that. It makes sense that he suddenly is gassed, having to go quicker. And we talked about this, too, in the offseason. We talked about this many times. This pitch clock is going to cause people to work faster, which is great for some pitchers. But other pitchers that are methodical, other pitchers that need to kind of catch their breath in between pitches, this is going to show them out. And I'm wondering if that's kind of the issue. He's not going to get a reprieve in AAA. It's not like they don't have a pitch clock. But it's going to be interesting. If he can figure that out, we've seen he is great, right?
Yeah.
It's not like, and so unless he's injured, there's got to be some type of tweak that needs to happen.
I mean, I looked at like pitch values and things like that, like pitch velocity, all the same. Like, it's no different. Sliders, fastball, like, you know, we're talking point something of a difference, but the pitch value is just the complete opposite end of the spectrum here. And so, this is runs above average, right?
Right.
His fastball last year was 14.5. It's now -7.4.
Oh.
Slider was 4.9. It's now -9. Like, his two best pitches got obliterated this year. His sinker was the second best pitch, 9.7, which is still a 5. So that one's still working for him, just not as well as last year. But yeah, I mean, you could be onto something, and you know, all the people that you read this about or read this from on Twitter, you know, you could be onto something. The pitch clock could be affecting him. And I think we've heard that from some other pitchers. You know, some of the older guys kind of struggled with it initially, and I think they're figuring it out, right? You know, their gamesmanship is sort of getting in there. I've been saying this from day one. I like the quicker pace of the game, but they've got to tweak this just slightly, because it does feel kind of rushed at times. And you're like, I kind of want the pitcher to be able to breathe and go, no, I actually don't like it. Give him an extra like 5 seconds. Like, how much would that really matter? I don't know. Like, there's got to be something else they can do, because it does just feel like some of these guys, they just can't think. And you can tell, and it's just craziness. And then, you know, obviously we can get all the, like, the umpires not giving them the time to, like, get an applause. You know, it's like, this is nonsense here. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, I think Manoah has got to he's got to go down to the minors, get used to this against, you know, lesser competition and come back up. He's got the talent. He's got to work through whatever issues are going on right now. We've seen it. He did not get drafted where he did this year because he sucked. That's right. Definitely not the case. So,
and I'm glad that I do not have any shares of him anywhere.
Yeah, I missed on him everywhere.
Joe, are you picking on a long-term dynasty league? Are you looking at Alec Manoah or are you looking at Benintendi? Because I know that's AJ Garth's pick.
I mean, it's going to be Benintendi, right? I mean, AJ's always right.
Or are we talking like 2017 Benintendi, 2018 Benintendi, maybe 2019?
I don't know. Should I go back on that soapbox?
I think so. You might as well.
Full circle.
I'm gonna not let you do that. Come on, Daddy Joe. Our show for tonight, and tonight's show is brought to you by Bartolo Colon.
It's brought to you by Tito.
We could also say 2021 Benintendi. He was decent.
Verlander Colon. Bartolo Verlander Colon.
Oh, where's the one of him like rubbing his belly? That's the best one.
I can't get that one.
Oh, doesn't man. Matter. Fail. All right. Thank you all for listening and watching.
There he is.
Make sure we hit that subscribe button, the like button. Leave those comments. We appreciate it. And again, become an all-access member of Fantasy Six Pack at fantasysixpack.net/plans. We will be back next week with another show. Have a good night, everyone.
Bartolo. Bye.